John, the Gospel of John, if you will, first chapter, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here and look at a couple of words tonight and try to be a blessing, try to be an encouragement, give you something to think about, give you some encouragement to grow as a Christian. John chapter 1, obviously verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want you to drop down to verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If you take the Bible, if you search the Scriptures, you're going to find that the only time in the Bible that grace and truth are found together is right here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Moses, the Bible said, gave us the law, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ who brought something even greater to man. Man needed the law. We needed something to point us to Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, with Him came grace and truth. Those two together. Now we know what truth is. The Bible tells us, John 17:17, thy word is truth, all right? That this written word is truth. It's His word, and it is the truth. At the same time, He came into this world as the living word. That's what it says to us there in verse 1 of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, that Word was made flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He came as truth personified, okay? Truth personified. It was only the Lord Jesus Christ who could put the truth perfectly together with this thing called grace. Grace. Grace and truth. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could bring those two perfectly together the way He did. And we talk about grace, and man, I remember for years I always heard grace was God's riches at Christ's expense, using that acrostic. But I like it better. Grace is what we get that we don't deserve. Grace is what we get that we don't deserve. Hey, it's the grace. You just think about it a little bit, all right? These two words, grace and truth, that's where we're going to focus tonight. But it's His grace that causes Him to offer salvation and forgiveness to us. That's all on the grace of God, all right? All on the grace of God. You hear some people talk, you would think God owed it to us. God didn't owe that to us. Hey, God did not have to provide a way for man to fix the mess that Adam and Eve got us into, all right? God did not have to do that. Had He wanted to, He could have destroyed it all and started over. But He had a plan even before it happened. We've talked about that, mentioned it, you've heard it. Nothing surprised God. But it's only because of the grace of God that you and I even have a chance at forgiveness. The only way we have any chance at salvation, it's not because of our great merit and something we deserve. No, it's all on the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the grace of God. And through grace, salvation is offered to man. Free gift. Free gift. And by faith, we receive what God gives us by grace. Not because we deserve it, not at all. But then it is His application of the truth that makes us see our need for forgiveness and salvation. It's the application of the truth of this book. Hey, the truth of the matter is you turn most people loose, most people think, I'm a pretty good person. I'm pretty good. And we measure ourselves against ourselves. I'm not like him. I'm not like her, you know. I'm better than they are. We see ourselves as pretty good individuals, but it's the application of the truth of this book That's why when you begin to try to witness somebody, one thing you need to start with, you need to make sure they know they're a sinner. Hey, I'm in need of salvation, all right? Well, how do we get that from the truth of this book? And God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's us. That's where we are, okay? It's the truth applied, the truth of the Word of God applied to us that makes us see our need, all right? You come to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I hope this is why you come. I hope this is why you come. It's why I go to hear preaching. And I listen in because I want God to point out what my problem is and what I need to fix. I want Him to deal with me. I want Him to talk to me. And I want the Holy Spirit of God to use the preaching of the Word of God to show me what I need to take care of. Hey, it's the application of truth, all right? The application of truth. The truth is we're all sinners. That's not a pretty picture. It is not a pretty picture, but it's the truth. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, He didn't mince any words when He was pointing out the need of men for forgiveness. He didn't mess around. He made it plain, all right? All of sin, but it was the combination of these two, grace and truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about it just for a minute or two. We won't be here long, all right? First of all, I want you to think this way. It's necessary to have both of these if we're going to be like Christ. If we're going to be like Christ, we need both grace and truth, all right? If all we have is grace, we're going to be a liberal. If all we have is grace, we're going to be a liberal theologically, all right? Go with me, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Here, you know, there's folks out there that even Paul had to deal with in his day. And in Romans chapter 6, we see this verse. If I can find Romans chapter 6. There it is. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul's writing to the folks there at Rome, and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hey, there's some folks today that preach and teach a warped idea of grace. That overwhelming grace is such that you can do whatever you want to. Doesn't matter how you live. Doesn't make any difference what you do. The grace of God will take care of it, and you're all right. You don't have to worry about anything. It's all right. I'm going to tell you, that's not true. That is not true. Grace is a wonderful thing, all right? But if all we have is grace, and that's all we give, if that is all we give out to people, all right, we're going to wind up as a liberal. Because that's what's wrong with a lot of people. Hey, a lot of the preaching that you hear, there's not anything wrong with what's said. What the problem is what's not said. It's not anything wrong with what is said, but what is not said and what that preacher will not say. We live in a day of positive only preaching. Hey, there has to be some negative on there, all right? That crowd that's the positive only, that's the one that says it's just grace, all right? And we just got to maintain that positivity. Wait a minute, there's some negativity needs to be, all right? We need both of those. So if all we have is grace, we'll be a liberal. But on the other hand, if all we have is a truth, and we just nail the truth and live on it and harp on that, no grace whatsoever, we're going to come across as the most uncaring, unloving person in the world. Just nailing the hide, okay? Now, I like a preacher that'll nail my hide. But I still like for him to come up and pour a little bit of salve in there, okay? All right, I still need a little bit of that. Still need that. Man, when I was a kid, the only remedy we had in our house for any cut or scrape was methylate. And a lot of people call it mercurochrome. No, this wasn't mercurochrome, it's methylate. And the one thing I know about it, it would set you on fire when it was applied. And it would set you on fire. And I knew it was coming as a kid. I knew it was coming. If I got a scrape or anything, I knew that's what it was going to be. And I knew the pain was going to erupt and the wonderful burning sensation that you'd get. I knew that was coming. That was the truth. But with that, I wanted a little bit of grace. And I remember, said, could I get in front of the fan when you put that on? And it'll blow on it, a little cool air, help it. And I remember asking Mom, would you blow on it, please? You're lighting me on fire. I can even remember going so far as asking my brother, blow on it, man, I'm burning up, okay? I wanted all the help I could get. The truth was there, but could I have a little grace, you know? That's what we need, all right? That's what we need. Men need the truth. And I'm not against the preaching of the truth. I'm not against that one bit in the world, but it needs to be given with a little bit of grace. I've heard somebody say, now I personally have never heard a preacher do this, but I've heard somebody say some guys preached on hell like they were glad people were going. Now I've never heard anybody preach that way. I suppose it's possible. But wait a minute, that's given the truth. The truth is good, but man, a little bit of grace with it is a blessing, you know? It's a little bit of help, a little bit there. Grace and truth, it's necessary to have both of those if you're going to be like Christ, because he was, the Bible tells us he was full of grace and truth. Man, that ought to be our goal, is to be like him. To be like him. So if we're going to be like him, we need to have grace and truth. I'll tell you something else. Grace and truth will help us to love the way our Lord loved people. Okay? The way our Lord loved people. Those who love with grace alone, have a tendency to not correct error. I'll give you what I think is a marvelous illustration of it. You hear somebody say, I've been with people. I'll never forget one time we were, my wife and I were at a house, and this lady had a little boy, and she had some other kids, but this little boy, man, I looked up, he was climbing all over everything. I mean, all over everything. And she said, now, son, don't do that. Now, son, get down. Now, the son was ignoring Mom, totally. Completely. And I finally said, ma'am, if you want to get up and swat him real good, go ahead. It won't bother me at all. You know, I said, if you need to take care of him, go ahead. We understand that. And she looked at me and she said, but he's so young. And she said, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. The parent that will not correct their child the way they should is a person that's full of grace, but they do an injustice to that child. And by the way, anybody that child's going to know in their future, okay? And they do an injustice to them. look in Galatians chapter 4, all right? Galatians chapter 4. We sort of have an example of this here. Galatians chapter 4, look in verse 16, all right? The Apostle Paul, he's preaching, and he says in verse 4 of Galatians 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Hey, if I'm telling you the truth, that doesn't make me your enemy. Hey, listen, if your child needs a spanking, you give them a spanking, it doesn't make you cruel. It doesn't make you heartless. It doesn't make you a child abuser. When it's handled biblically, nothing wrong with it whatsoever, all right? But oftentimes, man, if all a person has, especially if all a parent has is that grace, it causes them to overlook what needs to be fixed. It causes them to overlook something bad that needs to be stopped, something wrong that needs to be corrected. Why? Well, it's grace, all right? I don't want to hurt anybody. Wait a minute. Let's look on the other side. Those who love only on the basis of truth and without grace are going to have difficulty building relationships. They're just going to have difficulty. I mean, if there is no grace whatsoever, man, every time somebody gets out of line, thump them good. I just got a question. Those of you that had good parents, did you get a whipping every time you deserved one? I did. I didn't get, and it's not just because I didn't get caught, okay? But I didn't always get one. Didn't always get one. There were times that I didn't get that. Now, it wouldn't have been wrong if I'd have got one. Wouldn't have been wrong. Hey, but if the only thing you have and the only thing you do and the only basis of any example of love you got is just the truth and it's just hammer it home, you're going to have a problem developing relationships with people. You're going to struggle, okay? Man, it's just, woo, you know, there's no halfway with that person. It's just bam, all right? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the way he loved. It's not the way he loved. I'll give you the example of that Samaritan woman. Excuse me, not Samaritan woman, but the woman taken in adultery. That woman taken in adultery was brought before the Lord Jesus Christ. She was accused. The accusers made it very plain, you know, she's guilty, we caught her in act. Now, what do you say? And the Lord dealt with that whole situation. The first thing he did is he dealt with the accusers. All right? He dealt with the accusers. They were wrong. They were wrong. He said, how could they have been wrong? Well, for one thing, they caught her in the act. Where was the guy, okay? Why wasn't he brought along? All right? You know, what was the deal there? So they were wrong. But I want you to notice the way the Lord dealt with this woman, he did not excuse her sin, but he forgave her sin. He forgave her sin. Let me say this to you. I'm as convinced as I can be that that woman taken in adultery stood there and was ashamed. Because I believe with all my heart she knew she was wrong. She knew she was wrong. Wasn't any doubt about it. You know, if a person's wrong and they're ever going to have any chance of getting right, you don't have to beat them over the head for 30 or 45 minutes with how wrong they are. I'll never forget. I'd tell this if Brother Trangmar was here, okay? Brother Trangmar, but he's our school. Kids would act up and they did something wrong, and it was important to correct it. But Brother Trangmar had a habit he would preach to them for an hour. I mean, just over and over, going over the same thing. I mean, just all out, both feet, all right? Tromping on them. And I don't know, it happened several times, and finally I got him. I said, Brother Trangmar, I want to tell you something. I said, after about 15 minutes, they quit listening. They weren't listening to you anymore. They were looking at you. They weren't listening. I said, you lost them, man. Look, if somebody's going to get right, you don't have to spend an hour and a half pounding them. It's not necessary. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at that woman. The truth was she knew her sin. And the Lord applied the grace with that truth and said to her, go and sin no more. Boy, he put the picture of us for us of how we're to love people with grace and truth. Hey, grace and truth will allow you to have the mind of Christ. Our Lord sees things differently than we do. Completely. Sometimes it's very easy for us. Me. I guarantee you I'm here. Sometimes it's very easy for us to be very critical of folks when we really don't know much about them. We can be very critical of people. All right? And it's easy for us to do. We look at them and we can be very critical of them. And by the way, everything we say might be right. Might be right. We're quick, though, sometimes to be critical because of our lack of grace that we're willing to extend to others that we don't know. And instead of checking it out and giving somebody, you know, there's that old statement, you give somebody the benefit of the doubt. You know, I think we ought to start that way. We ought to start that way. We ought to give people the benefit of the doubt, all right? Just give them the benefit of the doubt. They were wrong, but man, hey, was it really intentional? Was it wholehearted? Give a little bit of, you know, benefit of the doubt. At least till you've investigated, you find something out. I've told kids at school before, look, I hadn't told them. I told Brother Dunbar. I said, Brother Dunbar, if I ever accuse a child of doing something, I know they did it. I know they did it. I will not accuse somebody I suspect. I will not accuse somebody I suspect. But if I know they did it, I will accuse them. I will accuse them. But man, let's be willing to extend a little bit of grace out there, all right? We don't understand everything. We kind of have a tendency, and it causes people to say, well, you think you're better than them. Well, we come across that way if we don't extend any grace whatsoever. People say, well, you think you're better than us. No, don't think I'm better than you. I don't want that. Hey, the mind of Christ, his mind, he looked at people and he said, how can I help you? How can I help you? You know, what can I do for you? What can I do to change that situation? God help us to have that reality. You see, he did it because he had the heart of a servant. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that when Jesus came, he took upon him the form of a servant. Servant. And if you come as a servant, you're going to have to come and give somebody a little bit of grace, all right? You're just going to have to come and extend that to them. Now, it doesn't mean we desert the truth, okay? But a little bit of grace with that truth is a good thing. It's a good thing, good way to do it, all right? Grace and truth will cause you to be a servant of God. It'll cause you, man, it'll cause you to live to do the work of God. Anyone with a great love for the truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I think God's people ought to have a love for this truth. We ought to love this truth. We ought to love it, all right? But if you've got a love for this truth, anybody with a great love for the truth is going to have a desire to get that truth to somebody else. Somebody else. One of the toughest things for me in teaching school is this. Kids that don't want to learn. Don't want to learn. If I had $5 for every time I've heard, why do we have to learn this? I'd be retired in Tahiti, all right? No, I wouldn't be because I got no desire to live in Tahiti, but I'd have the finances to do it. And you go over it with kids and, you know, they don't want to know anything. I don't understand that. I want to know everything I can. I want to learn. There is hardly anything in the world I'm not interested in. I mean, somebody's interested in something, they'll tell me about it. I'll listen. There's very little. I want to learn something. Hey, if you've got a great desire and you love the truth, and you love the truth of this book, then you're going to have a desire to get that truth to somebody else. To get that truth to somebody else. If you're a great cook, and you love cooking, you're going to try to share that with people. You'll say, hey, man, I tried this new recipe. Let me tell you about it. You with me? Ms. Noble loves music. She likes to play. She's been looking for somebody to teach guitar to for years, I think ever since I met her. When we first met, it wasn't very long, and she said, if you know anybody who wants to learn the guitar, I'll teach them. I'll teach them. So, anybody here, you want to learn the guitar? There she is, all right? She'll help you, all right? Why? Well, she loves it. And because she's got to love her, she wants to push it along. She wants to pass it down, all right? Hey, if we love the truth, we want to get it to people. But can I suggest to you, grace will help you to cushion the truth, all right? You say, why do you need to do that? Well, because you don't need to witness to people the way I've heard of people witnessing. I remember hearing, I think it's Gary Coleman, who pastored for years in Garland. He talked about witnessing to this guy, and he said, we had a guy that came to our church. He said he wasn't altogether right. And he said, I had this one businessman I'd been trying to get to come to church forever. And he said, man, he finally came one Sunday. And boy, he said, I was so excited, and I preached hard as I could, you know, and gave the invitation. And he said, I looked up, and there's that guy that's not altogether right. And during the invitation, I see him go over and talk to that guy. And he said, I saw that guy, kind of toss his head. And the guy that was not right left him, and he thought, oh, great, he'll never come again. But just a minute later, here he comes down the aisle, and he got saved. Brother Coleman, I'm almost sure it's Brother Coleman, said, he talked to him, he said, listen, what was it that caused you to get saved? And like every preacher, he was hoping it was that sermon preacher. But this guy said, you know, did you see that guy come over and talk to me? Preacher said, yeah. He said, well, he came over and he said, man, don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, I kind of shook my head, no. And he said, well, go ahead and go to hell then. Can I just say to you, that's not the way to witness to people, all right? Now, it is true, there's only two places. If you don't go to heaven, you're going to hell, all right? But it's better if you cushion the truth with a little grace, all right? Now, you say, well, it worked that time. Yeah, but I'll tell you, it'll make more people mad than it will glad, all right? What I'm saying to you, grace and truth will cause you to be a servant of God. But grace will help you to cushion that truth. It will mean when you witness to people, you don't knock them down and sit on their chest, okay? And say, you better get saved. Won't be, I'll never forget Curtis Hudson telling the story of, he had a doctor in his church. And he said, I was trying to get everybody to witness I could, and this doctor finally decided, okay, I'm going to witness. So he had a patient come in, man, he examined him, you know, and he's trying to work it up just right to witness to him. And he said, he'd examine, he'd turn around, wash his hands, and he said, hey, if you were to die right now, you know, go to heaven. He said to the guy, oh, preacher, don't tell me that. Don't tell me I'm fixing to die. No, wait a minute. That's not what I meant, all right? Hey, it's better to cushion the truth with a little bit of grace. Grace. Let me say this as I'm winding up. Be careful in deciding who you think needs what. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? There are those people that say, well, that person needs more grace. The person that says that probably needs a little more truth. And then the others think you need more emphasis on the truth. They might just need a little more grace. All right? They might just need a little more of that. Having both in sufficient measure is surely going to make you a better Christian. We need to seek to have that proper balance, if you will, of grace and truth. Grace and truth, they're both important. You say, which one's the most important? You can't say. No way to put it there. What you learn to do is let the Holy Spirit commune with you And he'll help you to know when you need a little more truth here, or, hey, you need a little more grace right here. The Holy Spirit will help you to know that. Grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. We need them both. One's not enough. We need both of them. Would you bow your heads this evening? Hey, have you got a balance there? Grace and truth. Maybe you need more of both. Maybe you need more of both of them. Hey, then learn to come to God and get what you need. You need more of the truth and study that book so you know the truth. But man, once you get a hold of the truth, don't think the way to get it across people is pounded into them. Need a little bit of grace and truth. Our Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, I'm so glad that we had the perfect example. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Lord, would you help us to work to have that right balance in our life of grace and truth? Both of them so important. Lord, one's not better than the other one. One's not more important than the other. They're both important. And Lord, help us to seek that balance that it might help us to love more like Jesus Christ, to be more like Jesus Christ, to be the servant that you'd have us to be. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.